Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. And God, do we really love talking about this show. We actually love talking about it so much. It's another two-part episode because we went for so long. Anyway, if you're just tuning into this part and you're like, what the hell? Part one is already up. It should be in your feed. So go subscribe to the podcast. That way you don't miss a single episode. But if you didn't, that's okay too. Just it's there. Just go listen if you want to, or just be wild and jump in right now. Okay, enough from me. Let's get back into the episode. So Whitney goes, so everyone, Bobby turns 13 and we're doing a birthday party for 9. Her. Please come and bring your families. And then Heather goes, and bring your mom.
Monica, yes, like, bring your mom, Monica. So Whitney's like,
and Meredith, I want you to come, but I have to have this awkward conversation with her. You. Angie and her family are going to be there, and it makes me feel uncomfortable that you said you wanted to ruin her life, and you have heard multiple rumors that could ruin her life.
What a transition. So Meredith is like... what? Meredith goes, I have never said that I would ruin anybody's life. I've just merely stated you want to go with your husband? I'll go with my husband.
But you said you had heard multiple rumors about her that could ruin her life. And Heather's like, God damn it. I bought cream cheese for this.
And Whitney's like,
look back in the history of our friendships. It's the same thing with Jen, with Lisa, with Mary, with Jehoshaphat, with Paul.
Whitney, now you're just naming disciples.
I forgot what I was talking about.
With Big Mac, McDLT, a quarter pounder, with some cheese, a filet of fish, a hamburger, a cheeseburger, a happy...
Whitney? So she's like,
I'm just saying as...
Pickles, lettuce, special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us have it your way.
50 nifty United States from 13 original colonies. Shout 'em, spout 'em, tell all about 'em. One butt.
Whitney?
Red and yellow and green and brown and scarlet and black and ochre and peach and ruby and olive and violet and fawn and chocolate and mauve.
Whitney, that's Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, Whitney.
Prancer and Dancer and Romancer.
And Mary and Angie. Oh, you're back.
She made it back. She made it back, everyone. Just have to wait it
out. Whitney made it back full circle.
So I'm just saying, as your friend, this seems to be your pattern and what you do.
Well, as my friend... I forgot about this part, Ronnie. As my friend, I would like you to understand how you could see my car crash on the side of the road and not stop or call me for 48 hours as I freeze to death in a snowbank, dying with only the thought of my toddler keeping me alive through the cold night.
If you're my best friend, if you're one of my friends, why is the only people that understand me? Why is the only person on Earth who can understand that situation Ryan Reynolds? And that film where he was buried alive.
And Whitney's like, well, I did pass the car that was on the snowbank, yes. And later, I found out it was you, and that's why I texted you, because you posted that you were in a fatal accident.
Whitney not knowing what fatal means.
But is, but I think that Whitney was saying, like, you said you were in a near fatal accident and I just saw a car that had, was like slightly off the road in a snowbank. So I just didn't think that that was the near fatal accident. So then we see once again Meredith's post. Oh.
Brant was fortunately able to maneuver the car into a snowbank as we were headed to crash off the side of a 4-inch cliff. In Utah, and my dear friend and I, whose name I shall not mention because she does not credit it on this show, were in a car accident that could have been far more horrible than it was. horrible.
Wasn't her friend named Linda or something?
It's like Barbara. Oh, was that Linda, another Linda? Or...
Yeah, we saw her for a second.
Yeah.
And Whitney, this is what my favorite thing that Whitney does of a lot of things. You know, Whitney's really grown on me over the years. I was just thinking while I watched this, I was like, thank God for Whitney. You know, I don't know if I was just in a particularly positive place after watching such toxic mother-daughter scenes, but I was like, you know what, Whitney? I appreciate you. But one of my favorite things she does is when it's like the Whitney Matlock series where Whitney thinks she's figured out some huge piece of information like a detective. So this is her. This is like the end of Whitlock. Okay. This is Whitney. She's like, wait a minute. Did her life really flash before her eyes? Or did she see an opportunity to throw something out that we can't challenge her about? Because this big dramatic post, it's like she's thinking that people will feel bad for her and then not bring up the fact that she brought up these rumors about Angie. And the music's like, ding!
Because she almost died.
Hey. You just did it, Whitney. You did it. Congratulations, Whitney.
Meredith choking up about this, like, the snowbank situation is just so amazing. So Whitney's like,
well, I want to invite you to the party, but I also want to get to a place where I can know it's a safe space. Safe space? I'll tell you about safe spaces. It's not in a car going off the side of a cliff. What I can tell you is this, Whitney. When I...
Hold on. I need a moment of dramatic face.
When I got into that accident, and I did see my life flashing before my eyes. I saw four little hands on a lemon. And I thought, will I ever get to touch that lemon again with my family? I'm not sure right now. It was horrible.
I thought I was going over a cliff. And the thought that my last conversation is what it was that day. Oh, it was incomprehensible. I was incomprehensible.
Truly. And I can tell you this, Whitney. I don't threaten people. I'm not hurting people the way the snowbank hurt me. I'm not inflicting harm or wishing ill towards anyone, including Angie. But if you want to go there with a husband, I'll go there with a husband.
She does this big dramatic pause and everybody's staring at her, just nodding like, okay, there's another Meredith monologue yep. in the books. And Whitney's like,
okay, thank you.
Also, I want to thank this monologue for perhaps undoing all the sutures in my appendix right now, because I'm laughing so hard and I'm like, it's like down there. So Angie, now we go to...
Wait, why do you have sutures?
Well, for my surgery for the appendix. Did you not hear? I had my appendix out. New hip!
Bam.
New appendix.
You made it.
So Angie, now we go, Angie, at her house. So her dad, Louis, comes over.
Her doorbell goes off and it's like, opa, opa.
I mentioned this on Crappy Hour. Poor Angie only has 20,000 followers on Instagram. That's not fair. That's not fair for anyone in the Real Housewives universe. People got to help her out. So Angie's like, her dad comes over and she goes, oh, dad, you look fit as a fiddle. And he's like, yeah, okay, fine. Here's some lemons. Here, enjoy these. So they're going to go cook together and have a nice...
She's like, I'm going to put you to work cooking, dad. And he's like, okay. She's like, I love spending time with my dad. I'm Greek. He's my best friend. Well, my best Greek friend. He's 86 Greek years old, and he's still teaching me how to do things.
He's the first person I call when I wake up. I usually say, Dad, save me. I've been crawling around for 5 minutes, and I'm still not off my mattress. It's so big. Please get a crane.
He reminds me of who I am, which is a Greek person. They came from Greece. They wanted to raise their children in the American way. However, we were Greek. We ate lamb. We Greek danced and we're Greek.
We're loud in a Greek way. All the things that you see in Utah, my dad, he was out saying, We're going to come together through food, and cooking is one of his favorite things to do because we are Greek. By the way, did you notice her kitchen? In one area of her kitchen, there's like a big wine refrigerator. And then right next to it, there was like a hot plate. Did you see that? There was like a hot plate. It was like a two burner grill or something, not grill, or like some sort of like little mini stove. And then adjacent to that, she has two giant chalices filled with like Skittles or gumballs. It like made no sense whatsoever.
The kitchen is Electra. I think that's probably the only person who actually uses that kitchen. They've got a hot plate for Electra and some candy, and that's it. Because Angie doesn't even know how to open a bottle of wine.
No.
As we see in a moment. She like Craig Conover's that wine.
So he's like, so Angie, how's Sean, your husband? She's like, oh, he's at the salon, the Greek salon. And we haven't been on a date or two for a year and a half or two or something like that. So we're never alone together because we have all these children. And by children, I mean just Electra and all of her awards. Her awards are our children, too. It's what happens, right, though? You stop doing romantic things with your husband, right? Can you please verify this for me, Dad? We're Greek.
And he just shrugs. He's like, I don't know. He's like, but did you and Mom ever go on dates when we were younger? And he's like, no, we had too many kids. Where are we going to go? She's like, well, I just wish that we had more time to, me and Sean had more. Oh, Opa. Oh, Sean's coming in. The ring motion detector. Hello, Sean. How was things at work? My dad is here. He is Greek. And Sean's like, hi, Dad. All right, I'm going to go take a shower now. Bye.
Yeah, Angie says,
Meredith's still not allowed in the house, right? Like, yes. Damn it. Right. It's like, it's just so cold in here. Without the thought of icon Meredith Marks coming over at some point.
Being a wife, my mom died at a young age, and I don't really have many memories of my mom and dad together. So being a wife, I didn't have an example of how to navigate different situations. I had to learn everything as I went, which is why it was awkward when we put Electra's pants on her top and her shirt on her bottom. Had to learn so many things on the fly.
And the dad's like, well, listen, here's my advice. You have to be firm. Show Sean who the top is. Sean's like, gonna shower. And she goes, well, I served my father, so I can serve you too, right? And he just pretends he didn't hear her and turns and goes up the stairs. And she's like,
take care, guys.
Okay. Yeah, he says, take care, guys. And she's like, see you in a bit. And then she goes, Dad, do you want some fruit? And then we get a close-up of her plate. I was like, come on, that can't be an accident. What is this show? This show is so cruel.
We forgot to mention that her dad made his famous Greek lemon Greek. So now there's a snowstorm.
He made lemon rice chicken soup.
Lemon
famous
rice.
Famous Greek.
Famous Greek. Demeter soup.
Greek.
So now we go to a snowstorm. And Whitney is pulling up to a restaurant called Provisions, which just makes me think of Below Deck. I'm just imagining you go in there and they're just like, the staff is just throwing boxes of groceries around and you just have to duck.
And and also Real Housewives of New York, because wasn't that the store that Uba wanted to go to in the Hamptons? Provisions?
Wow, I can't believe that didn't stick with me, but you're right. So,
isn't that crazy?
So then Mary...
It's everywhere. Provisions. That huge corporation, Provisions, has got something going on with Shed Media.
Truly. They're funding something. So Mary shows up. This is the Whitney and Mary scene. And Mary's like, how you doing? And Whitney goes, surviving this snowstorm. And Mary's like, it's a blizzard. And Whitney's like, thanks for coming out.
Whitney's like, hey, babe. You look beautiful, babe. Surviving, babe. Thanks for coming out, babe.
I love that people in Utah, it is snowing so hard. There's so much snow on the ground. And this restaurant is packed. Like in Los Angeles, there's like misting and everyone's like hunkered down at home. But in Utah, they're like, oh, wow, 5 feet of snow are coming in. Let's go to Provisions.
I mean, yeah. LA is by far the wussiest. But I think it's also an infrastructure thing, you know, because remember when during the crappies when there was a big LA blizzard?
Yes.
And it was basically just rain. Everybody was canceling. And, you know, I mean, it turned out to be such a fun night. But anyway, I kept saying, whatever, a fucking blizzard. Get over it, everybody. This is a bunch of bullshit. We were floating down the street. There were cars floating down the street.
That was insane. Like, if there was ever a time to go cross country skiing, it was then.
So Whitney says, Mary and I have a little bit of history. It hasn't always been the easiest of friendships, mainly because I'm not sure we ever had a friendship, but I 100% know all the different versions of Mary.
We just see, little girl.
You can go, little girl. I brought you cookies, like when she's all nice. And then we see, I'm not your child. And Mary saying, I thank God you're not.
Mary,
she's a tough nut to crack. Emphasis on nut and crack. Emphasis on both
of them. On the nutcracker. It's about Mary. I figured it out.
So Whitney's like,
I did it.
Whitney's like,
we missed you at Greek Easter.
And Mary goes, I didn't miss it. It's like, okay.
Pleasant Mary. Just Mary coming to spread joy. So Mary's like, 7 years blessed to our life. And I guess that's her cheers. And Whitney's like,
I need it because I'm headed into 7 years of teenage years. Right, babe? Good. Look at us. Pinky link.
They actually have about a millisecond of pleasant small talk about their kids. You're like, oh, this is going well. And then the waitress comes over with Mary's food. And like the soup or something, the broth in Mary's dish like spills onto the plate. And Mary is horrified. She's like,
does it spill on her?
I can't tell if it spilled on her or on the plate. It probably got her a little bit, but Mary, of course, you know, she's very proper. And so
the waitress is like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'll be right back. She goes, no, you did not spill some food on me. And I was cracking up because they even showed an instant replay, but we didn't see anything splash out. So I don't know if it actually hit her.
It looked like some broth had come out of whatever bowl it was. And we see some broth on like the charger or whatever that's there on the table. But I couldn't tell if it hit Mary or not. But Mary was, she's like, I'm the leader of a congregation. You do not spill anything on me.
And she tells us, why didn't she spill on Whitney?
That's a sign. That's a sign I shouldn't be here tonight.
And Whitney's laughing. And she's like, Whitney, okay, Whitney, you better come with it. She's like, what? Come with what? You better shoot your shot.
You called the shot. Whitney's like, she's like, I didn't order shots. No, you called the shot. Better shoot your shot.
No, hands up. No, shoot your shot, Whitney. She goes, I don't know what that means. Oh, apologize? Okay. I got caught up in a lot of bullshit talking about you, and I'm sorry.
And Mary goes, well, you severed our future. Severed it. And Whitney goes,
but Mary, you have to own it too.
I'm like, well, yes, Mary was terrible to Whitney, but like, don't invite someone to apologize and then be like, now you apologize too. Like, you start with yours, get through it, and then you'd be like, by the way, when you sent these texts, it sort of hurt me. So Mary, of course, does not want to hear it. I guess I should say, when you're dealing with Mary, that's not how you should do it. So Mary goes like, well, what do you mean I have to own it? I have to own you talking about me? She goes,
yeah, but you sent me mean text messages that hurt my feelings.
And then we get the montage of Mary's text messages again. Like, you think you're better than me? I can tell you're not. I'm better than you. I also know I look younger than you. I don't need all the fake injections in my face to make me look like whatever. I never had plastic surgery. Never. I don't need it to look like you do.
I don't need it like you do. I was dying at Whitney reading all those again. God, I love that moment. It was like a hug. It's like a warm hug. So Mary's like, you need to grow up, little girl, okay? Because I'm done. And I'm not doing this with you. You've wasted enough of my time. I am leaving.
Mary, don't do this.
Then she just sits there.
I know.
And Whitney's like, but did you hear? I brought you here to take accountability. And she's like, I am leaving. You know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to let you tell me what I'm going to work on. I'm going right this second.
And she just sits there.
You can be mean, but I can't.
Well, you sit there, and you sat there, and you called me and my husband predators. She goes,
I know. That was awful. I don't like that movie.
What? Mary goes, I can't believe Whitney is comparing my text messages to calling me a predator and my husband. How is this even a comparison? You can't say anything about someone that's not true and think that's okay. Someone's going to backhand you. Seriously. And it might be me.
So she's like, Whitney, we are done. Goodbye. I'm going to take my food, though. Is anybody going to bring me one?
She's like, storm out, but first, this is a free meal. I'm going to take it.
She does that thing where she's going to walk off. She does the Meredith Marks, like, I'm going to walk off 10 times, but she doesn't even walk off. She just keeps saying, and I'm walking off.
She kind of rotates her torso.
Okay, so I'm going to have a box here, right? You're going to bring me a box. I am leaving. Can I have some more bread here? I'm really low on the bread. Like, do you think they're cutting the cameras?
I know.
So you won't even have a conversation, Mary?
No, I'm not wasting my time with you. That's what you don't get. Wake up, bubblehead.
She goes, hey, could you wrap my food up for me? Oh, yeah, enjoy your oysters. Sloop, sloop it up. Okay, sloop it up.
Mary, this is gross. And I don't think this is how you want to leave it.
Oh, yeah? Well, you're going to watch me walk out the door right now. Actually, could you pack this up for me? I don't know why I asked you for a box. You do it.
Hey, Bobblehead. You work. Bobblehead, could you do this for me? I'm not going to. You already spilled on me, so can you take this to your bobblehead kitchen and wrap it up for me? Thanks very much.
And Whitney's like,
it is what it is. Mary's always going to find a reason to be mad at me.
Mary's like, I didn't come for this. I didn't come to do this. So basically, Mary finally, after like probably 30 minutes of like rotating as if she's about to get up, she finally does get up and she leaves.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Yeah. So then we go to
what it's Jock's Mission Lisa, Party.
Shark and Cooey's and apps.
Yeah.
Charcuterie. Oh, so Lisa did charcuterie, but she also did appetizers and cookies and a massive cake. Of course, she couldn't help herself.
Yes.
So the cake is like Elder Barlow. And it says Elder Barlow called to serve. And it's a suitcase cake with like a big tower on top.
Oh my God, that's gonna make me cry. You know what? I had a roommate in college who once dressed just like this cake. She said, I want to know what it feels like to be cake for a day. So
it was so creepy.
It was really creepy. So, oh my God, today's the day. We are going to find out where Jack is going to spend the next 2 years of his life. So people show up.
You know what? Well, he's getting his mission call, and that's a huge deal here. It's like a gender reveal party. But instead, what's the sex? It's that instead of being like, what's the sex? It's like, where are your frosted tips going to show up on this map?
Where will you be able to buy some cool clothes for mom on this map? So people show up. John's sister's name is Cher, which I thought was funny because I just always feel like the name Cher is like kind of glamorous because it's either like Cher from Cher or Cher from Clueless. So like that John just has like a, you know, it's like nice like homely sister named Cher. It's kind of funny to me.
Is it spelled S-H-A-R-E? Because that would work. So let's see.
Cher.
She's Cher.
She's sharing is like caring.
People would have that in my town. My children are named Sharing and Giving. I gotta shut the fuck up. I'm gonna key your car if I see that on the back of your fucking Suburban.
I would. Okay.
Little stick children named Sharing and Giving.
I would name my twins Sharon and Karen. That would be like, is that Karen? No, Sharon is Karen.
Sharon, Karen, Karen.
Karen and Sharon. Sharon's Karen. So.
And if you were married to me, they could be Sharon and Karen Karam.
Oh, yeah. So there's also Jack's bishop is there. He's one of those like cool bishops. He's like, whoa, man, this is awesome. Cool party, man. I'm the bishop. I always feel like it's weird.
If they had a lot of girlfriends, they could be the Sharon and Karen Karam Harem. Just saying. And on Halloween, they could be the Sharon and Karen Karam Harem Scarum.
I'm really trying really hard to come up with a rhyme right now. I'm being failed.
It's okay. I don't know what's wrong with me. It's already too long and I'm not going to shut up. Okay. Oh my God. You know what? This is becoming so real. I'm not a control freak, but I want things to happen my way. Like if I'm waiting for my G-Wagon, I want to make sure to get that G-Wagon with the seats that I want. And like I get it on time and delivered to my door. And this I do not have control over and I have no say where Jack lives. It's a lot. Oh, wait, hold on. Could someone open the window? I'm okay now.
I'd be nervous ordering a G-Wagon in Utah only because I would be afraid that I would actually get a covered wagon instead by accident. Like,
a covered wagon.
This is what I ordered.
This is a Brother Gary wagon. Okay. They're called G-Wagons for short. The horsepower on this is amazing. How many have we got here? Two horses. Comes with two horses. One has a bad foot, though.
Also, this party made me realize why Lisa probably never went on a mission. Because, like, if you have to be called elder or something, she's like, oh, I'm like not an elder.
No way. No way. I pay a lot of money to look this young.
I'll be like young in Barlow, but not like Elder Barlow.
But I think that would be sister. I don't think they're called elders.
Really?
I think they're called sisters.
Oh, never mind.
I think so. I'm listening to Heather Gay's book right now, and everyone's called sister. I'm at the that part where sense. You don't call people Mr. or Mrs. You call them sister unless you're out in public. And then people are like, why are you calling her sister? That means you're Mormon and you're a freak. And so they would have to like code it to Mr. Right. and Mrs. when they're outside.
I do have to say, like,
I'm very knowledgeable now, guys. So I study. So.
Listen, I support whatever religion people want to practice or believe in. Like, that's all cool. But what I don't understand is why an 18-year-old is called an elder. See, there, that's a problem, I think. It should be called young sir. Young needs to learn things. Young cut your bangs. That's what they shall be called. Young cut your bang, Barlow.
Yeah, what they should be called until they've earned their stripes is
little girl.
Little girl.
Bobbleheads. How about bobbleheads?
That's Mary's religion. That's what the missionaries in Mary's religion bobblehead are called.
So
the men are bobbleheads and the women are
little girl. So now all the teenagers are like gathered on the sofas for the reveal. I've never seen so many like white children in one place on Bravo. And Lisa is like, oh my God, I'm so grateful that you guys are all here. Can't tell any of you apart. So we're the Shah of Huns. Who knew that Jack was on a mission before us? Which is such a strange question to ask. And of course they all raise their hands. She's like, oh my God, everyone knew before me.
She's like trying to be cool about it. And it's like she's failing hard. You know what is so amazing? That Jack has found so many friends who look like Pinkies with bad haircuts.
And they're all named Jack and John.
It's fun to say that sucks. So, you know what? Let's get into this. Okay, Jack, do you want to read it? And he's like, I just want to say thank you to my parents who are like, amazing. They're like the best parents I could ever dream of having. Lisa, Queen of Sundance, and Dad, Nameless Dad. Did I say it right? That was good enough. Just keep going. Dear Elder Barlow, you are hereby called to serve as a missionary of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You were assigned to labor in Milan,
Paris. It's Paris. Oh my God, I'm going to Fashion Week. Oh my God.
Colombia, Bogota, North Mission.
Oh my God.
I'm so happy.
That is amazing.
Oh, I'm crying. Yes.
That is amazing.
These are happy tears.
They're shopping there. Do they have an outlet mall?
Wow.
Is it just...
Great.
Is it just retail? I love retail.
When is Fashion Week in Bogota? Never? Great.
Do they have a film festival?
Is that what we're calling Milan now? No? So Lisa tells us.
Colombia, Bogota, like it's in a bag. Do they sell bags there? Yes or no? I've never heard of this retail location.
She goes, oh my gosh. Like, I cannot believe he's going to Columbia, but like not the university. Like, he's probably being held up at gunpoint, probably like at least once or twice a week on his mission. That'll probably happen because like my friend's son, this funny story. So he was just like there and he was like held up at gunpoint like literally every week. And so he like carried a few extra dollars. So he'd be just like, hand it over. Be like, okay, cool. I see the gun. Here's some dollars. I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm like really excited about this, I guess. Like, I'm really excited. I'm happy.
And you know, Lisa is at the height of disturbed when she starts doing both of her side part things at the same time. She grabs them both at the same time and just starts like petting them out with her hands. She's like internally freaking the fuck out. And then she tells the rest of the party, she's like, yeah, that's great. I was expecting Europe or something, but this is great.
Her tone of voice is not that different from her reaction to when she found out she had to dress in drag in Palm Springs. What? But this is my face. You're going to Colombia? But my face. She goes, I was expecting Europe or something, or like New York, but like Colombia. Great.
Yeah. Great. Colombia. Yeah.
She's so unhappy.
So then we go to Monica. Now, Monica's in another car now. This is where she's like in the older Lexus or something. So I don't know what's going on, but I get that we have to get to mommy issues. There's so much stuff to cover there. I really need to get to car issues and what's happening with the car. I'm very invested in car drama. Yeah. I love car drama. Like, is your lease up? Did someone crash your other car? Did the other car get stolen? Could you not afford the other car? What's happening? And how did you choose this car? Did you go to the lot? Did you find it online? Did you test drive it? Did you trust people online? Did you run a Carfax? I need to know.
Do you know where you're going to? In honor of this scene, I am now going to change my backdrop from dirty snow to a theater stage. I'm now in a dark theater with spotlights. I wish I had a black turtleneck on because the one act play is about to begin. This scene.
Here we are.
Here we are. Monarca.
Here we are. Exterior. Monarca. Monica comes in to a well-lit restaurant.
I'm meeting someone here, and I think she's already here.
They're like, is it the lady crying at her table? We cut to Linda crying at a table alone.
Doing that thing where she's like grabbing both of her eyes. Like, this really means I'm crying.
waiter, can I get a straw, please?
And she's sniffing. I love that. Waiter, can I get a straw? So she's really covering her face, really going for that Emmy. And the mom goes, well, that just gave me a headache. So, gosh, she starts like rifling through her purse. And Monica's just watching her, like shaking her head, like,
So Linda has a great opening monologue. I watched a movie about an older lady in Croatia who had issues with her mom. The mom died and they hadn't resolved their issues. And I don't want that to happen to us.
I'm sorry to be quiet, up the movie. But first of all, I'm really touched. But I have to know what this movie is.
I looked
is.
It up.
What
there was I looked it up last. It's something called, hold on, let me find it. It came out in 2023. I have to assume this is what it was. Okay, now I've got to, of course I didn't save it.
I see Far Away.
Yeah, that's what it was.
2023.
Far Away.
And it's on Netflix. I guess that's why
she's listed as a comedy too, by the way. I want to point out.
After inheriting a house on a Croatian island, a woman embarks on a spur-of-the-moment trip that reignites her life and joy and opens a door for, oh gosh, I don't know what it opens the door for. I'm guessing mommy issues?
Lobster enchiladas.
Aspirin. If anyone's, I get these things wrong all the time, but I just Googled movie about older lady in Croatia who had problems with her mom.
That's what I Googled too. I literally Googled that. I said woman with issues with her mom in Croatia.
I just Googled the exact dialogue. And they hadn't resolved their issues. And I don't want that to happen to us. Hold on, let me hold my eyes. I'm very serious, Monica. And Monica's like, you want me to feel bad for you? But when I was crying, you didn't give a shit. Donk. And that's the sound effect we get.
Donk. Crying.
At Angie's dinner, you made me feel completely alone. You picked everyone else aside, and you were apologizing for me to those people you had just met.
And then we see a clip of her going around going, I'm so sorry about this. Hey, can we have some fun? Let's have some fun. Hey, boys, you into sports? I love talking sports.
And then you expect me to sit here and feel bad for you, and you're crying right now?
And Linda, she swivels her head, and she starts doing this thing with her head, like back and forth. And she goes,
starts like doing like rolling her head around and like doing the finger swirl. And she's like, "I'm not asking you to feel bad for me. I'm asking you to have a conversation with me."
And I'm like, "Don't talk to me like this." Changed. I know. She just like,
"How did we go from like crying to this?"
From like a very serious, I watched a movie about someone in Croatia to like, I'm not asking you to feel bad for me. So then Monica's,
don't talk to me like this.
And I'm not going to talk to you like some weak ass bitch either. I was like, whoa.
And then she slams the table and the waiter comes over and it looks like one of Jack's friends.
I know.
You know, so it's a young kid. He's like, evening ladies, welcome to Monarca. Well, what can I get you? What can I get you? And they just stare at him like, can you read the fucking room, dude? And the mom's like, I'll have the lobster enchiladas.
I watched a movie about a woman in Croatia, and her mother ordered lobster enchiladas. Thank you.
And Monica's like, I'll do the guacamole appetizer.
So then Linda's like in her bag now.
That's important to announce.
Yes.
We don't necessarily always announce the orders, but it was important in this one.
I agree. So now now Linda's in her bag, which is, again, very one-act play when they add like some sort of like naturalistic element. She's like in her bag going, I got to find some aspirin. Is there aspirin in here? I can't find my aspirin. Do you have aspirin in your bag? And Monica's like, no.
So Monica goes, so she's like, listen, this isn't Monica, this is a mom. She goes, so when you were in Palm Springs, you said that Angie was acting like a crazy person. And as her friend, you were trying to calm the situation down and pull her aside. And that's what I was trying to do for you. Now, that is how I took it.
Yes.
When I was watching it. I was like, okay. Now, seeing her go back and apologizing to everyone, yeah, that's not great. But that is how I saw it at the time as well.
Right. And Monica goes, girl, I didn't get in Angie's face and humiliate her like that. Like, you don't know the half of it. Nothing. But you instantly took her side and you instantly apologized for her for how I was acting. And I don't understand that. I can't comprehend that. That must have skipped a couple of generations because I don't have that in me to apologize to someone I never met before for my child.
Now, I have to say, Monica, yeah, you did do that to Angie in Palm Springs, okay?
You did.
Angie brought you into this group. Then she was left out of a party that you went to, like a weekend that you went to. And I get it's for TV, you know, but still, in the context of what they're doing, you still went to the party without her. And then when you were there, you took everyone else's side against her while they were kind of kicking her out of the group.
That is exactly what she
did. Yeah, you did. So whatever, okay. So then, yeah, she says what you just said, and she's like, that must have skipped a couple of generations because I don't have it in me to apologize to someone I don't know for my child. And she's like, well, I don't know what to do with this then. And she starts picking at her clothes.
Yeah.
Like, she is very staged.
It's very staged.
Like, I need busy work now.
Exactly.
Very uncomfortable. I'm pulling at my sleeves.
It's definitely like a one-act play festival. Like, we're all sitting there watching it, like, actors being very actory. And by the way, the recurring aspirin thing is such a one-act play thing because, like, there's always, like, a motif in a play where someone always goes back to some sort of, like, random piece of dialogue. So Monica's like, she's like,
I know. You tried crying and you tried yelling, and that's what you usually do. Stop that.
That was sincere. Don't be disrespectful.
And Monica's also right. You can tell that her mom, this is like her mom's theatrics, yes. You know? Anyone who has a theatrical mother sees it. Like, every time there's a problem, it's like, well, first I'm going to sob. And the second that doesn't work, the tears are gone, and it's like, fuck you. And then that doesn't work, and it's stage work. Bring on the stage work.
So anyone who has a theatrical mother recognizes it, and anyone who loves Faye Dunaway appreciates this scene. Oh, that's...
So she's like, I'm still your mother. And she's like, I'm not being disrespectful. The only person losing it right now is you. And she goes, do not mock my feelings.
Like you did for me.
I don't care. I don't care. I'm over it. I'm so over it.
I know you don't care, mother.
She's like, let me talk, motherfucker. She goes, Monica almost laughs. She's like, did you just call me a fucker? She goes, no, I called you a motherfucker.
Motherfucker.
I called you a motherfucker.
And then the waiter's like, here's your food.
Here comes the food.
So then there's awkwardness.
Guacamole, lobster tacos.
So then there's
then the mom goes, well, here's some pretty dessert.
Oh, she goes,
and she starts spooning through the guacamole. That's not your guacamole.
She goes, are you going to eat? Which is like, so like, she goes, are you going to eat?
Well, I don't feel like it right now.
We have our issues. We had our issues in the past. But we both have to be willing to be vulnerable with each other, especially when there's such a beautiful dessert right here of guacamole. And when you're ready, we can sit down and figure out, where did this start?
Where did we begin? I love that she goes straight into bachelor talk. She's like running out, like her tricks aren't working. So she's like, let's be vulnerable and bring our balls down. And Monica's like, you're stupid. And so she says, where did this begin, Monica? And she's like, my childhood? And she goes, okay, fine. Well, let's start there. God, I've got to have an aspirin somewhere.
There's got to be aspirin in this bag somewhere. I thought I put the
it's
aspirin
like throwing
bag.
Things out of her purse. It's like a golf club flying over her head.
She's just rummaging.
A pack of gum. And a cat.
And then, like, by the way, every melodrama has to have this phrase somewhere in it.
I'm not saying you're a bad mother.
Which, like, that sentence right there, like, any melodrama has to, just somewhere, insert it somewhere. That's when you know you have, like, a top-tier melodrama.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is Easter at Angie's was, like, reliving my abandonment as a child. I'm telling you, you want to get to the root of this? You have to hear hard things from me that you don't like to hear.
I did not abandon you.
Yes, you did.
I did not abandon you.
Yes, you did. I was 12 years old, and it was so easy for you to leave me with those people, and you just go off and leave your life in New York.
I mean, my God, this is crazy. So now I'm like, well, what's your side? Did you? And the mom says, well, I had to start my new job, and New York was far more expensive than I thought, and I was not prepared for New York. I mean, okay. So basically, she took a job. What was the job? Why did you have to move to New York for the job? Like, I need to know. Did you rent the car in New York? I need to know about the rental car, too. I just need to know. There's things missing.
How do we move past this? You have trauma.
You have trauma.
Where's my trauma?
Your mother. The way that your mother hated you and disliked you and was never there for you and abandoned you and your dad abandoned you. I get it. You went through a lot of abuse.
And Linda's like, I'm over it. I'm over it. I got over it.
And this is really fascinating to me. I really liked this section because she's saying, bullshit, you're not over it because you treat me the same way that your mother treated you. What a mature place to be coming from where you realize that, you know? Because I think with a lot of my issues, it took that. I was like, well, okay, I think as you get older, you start seeing, like, it's not just my trauma that I went through. What made them like that to put me through it, you know? And if you ask them, then they start going on their whole cycle, too. And then my meemaw would go through her whole cycle of her thing, too. And it's like, oh, my God, does this ever end? We're just like a cycle of fucking crazy.
But that's why I love this scene, because they're, like, going at it. And then all of a sudden, it's like, I had to do this for the job in New York. I wasn't prepared. And then it turns out your mother didn't like you either. I'm over it. I don't have trauma. You do have trauma because your mother never loved you. And you're like, oh my God, this is just getting so intense and so quickly. But it's also over the top.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Now, Monica has a whole big monologue. She's like,
I come from a long line of complicated relationships between mothers and daughters. My grandmother never wanted to have a daughter, so she completely just closed off. And it kind of made her aware of this relationship with my mom where, like, has been completely damaged since the beginning. She's always struggled with my mother, and everything my mom did was a complete disappointment.
I was like, oh, geez.
Yeah, so she said she lists, like, her mom got pregnant, then her mom became a member of the LDS church, and that was disappointing. Then her mother moved out of Boston, and that was disappointing. Her mom never got married, and that was disappointing. And so there's all these things that have made their relationship difficult. And so she thinks, in turn, like, her mom didn't want to get pregnant when she got pregnant either. Mm-hmm. And so she's had this whole life of resentment towards Monica. And I'm like, geez, that's pretty mature. I mean, it took me a whole long time to get there. I'm impressed. So the mom is like, I'm Monica Darnell. And she's, why are you calling me that? And she's like, because that is the name I gave you. And she's like, you have not called me that for decades. Like, she's really pissed that she calls her by her original
name. Well, I'm sorry. I don't know what the fuck your name is. You change it every fucking week.
And that is something that Lisa has come after her for online, too. And Angie, they're like, whatever, why don't you change your name again? So I guess that's a Monica thing.
So Monica's,
I'm not really sure what that's about. I read that it's that, is she part Colombian? That's what she is, right?
Colombian? Yeah, Colombian and Portuguese.
Colombian and
oh my God!
Portuguese. No, Puerto Rican and Portuguese.
Is it she can be like a tour guide for Jock.
What's wrong with me? But I think that in that culture, they use multiple names. I don't know, but I've been curious about that multiple name things for a couple weeks, but it's interesting that the mom brings it out as a weapon. She brings out her original name to trigger Monica, and then Monica's like, how dare you call me that name? You know I'm Fowler. And you know why you call me that? Because that's how still how you see me. That little girl you can still treat like shit and leave me there, and leave me there, and then you go to your dream job and on your dates while I sit in the back of the trunk of the car while you make out with a boy toy.
That
and the mom's
once.
Like, oh, that happened once.
That happened once. I'm sorry I kissed a boy.
She's like, it's not that you kissed someone, it's that you left me in a situation while you were doing it and you still don't give a fuck. And she goes, I don't.
So Monica's like, it's pretty disgusting. I wish I could like say that this is like the first time it happened or that it wasn't normal, but like that was like very on par for my mom. And I dealt with emotional and mental abuse my entire life. So I think I'm just like completely fucked up. And all I can do is make sure my kids never feel that and break that cycle, I guess, of emotional and mental abuse, truly. So Linda's like, what am I supposed to do, Monica? What am I supposed to do? I want you to tell me. And do you have aspirin? For God's sake, I need aspirin.
And Monica's like, why are you looking to me for answers as to why you abandoned me? And she goes, you know what? Get over it. All right, when do I get forgiven? And Monica goes,
you know what? You just yelled at me to get over it, so not today.
So then Linda starts like laughing and like rubbing her mouth. She's like, ha. It's like sort of like this weird moment where she's like, ha, I'm hungry. And so Monica's like, well, you should eat. And then there's like awkward silence as they just like Linda's fork and knife is like clink, 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 clink.
The
clink,
fork clink, knife clink, scraping across the plate.
I was like, oh my God, what am I watching? This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And Linda goes.
And so then the mom starts eating very slowly and chewing slowly while she stares right at Monica. And Monica's just kind of looking around the restaurant. And the mom's like, well, we're lost.
Well, all I care about is how this is affecting my children now. And this is crossing the line. And she's like, you know, and the shit you're doing to me, you're doing to my children. And when you take our vehicle, and she goes, oh, so now it's my fault. So is it not? I still need to know what happened to this damn vehicle.
We need to know the details. So Monica goes, that's exactly what I'm saying. So Linda goes, I can't fix this. I don't have the tools. We need therapy. There's no other way. I was like, well, actually, that's kind of a win that Linda was the one who proposed therapy, because I feel like it would actually be harder to get Linda into therapy than it would be for Monica. So I was like, oh, Monica, you got a freebie right there.
This is actually the most impressive part. This was like the biggest turn in the scene because I didn't expect it. So she's like, we need therapy. And then they stare each other down and Monica says, okay, but I do need to get home now. So I was like, okay, well, that's never happened, I don't think, where people are like, okay, let's go to therapy and fix this. So I liked that. Also, what you can see here is that this is a cycle that these two go through constantly. Because we've heard about it on the show,
but it was
since she's been on, about their fighting and the mom cursing her out when she hangs up the phone. It didn't really hang up, and all this shit that they do, and Monica losing her shit. And we see Monica losing her shit with people a lot too, you know, and like her bratty kind of attitude with people when she's not getting her way in an argument, and just the way that they're constantly fighting in this really dark, like, secular way. Oh my God. You know, I was very, you know, and I hate the word, but I was very triggered. I was like, oh my God, should I call my mom or never call my mom again? Like, where do I go from here?
Meanwhile, I'm like eating popcorn. I'm like, this
is
amazing.
I like went down and checked on my car. It's like, is my car still here?
Did your mom take your car back? I was blown away. I was blown away by, first of all, it was just very raw. First and foremost, it was very, very raw. But second of all, like the emotional arc of it, the way, like the pivots, the fact that actually Monica remained so composed while her mom was kind of like trying everything, like, you know, crying, being contemplative, guilt trips, calling her a motherfucker, and that Monica was actually able to be like chill during that, or quote unquote, relatively chill, was pretty amazing. But also it was those arcs and the way that there were all these reveals over the course of this small, like not small scene, but like relatively short scene, you know, like 8 minutes probably of airtime. Like they're able to peel back so much so quickly. I was like, this is amazing. I feel like I'm watching amazing TV right here.
Well, and if you think of back to the Greek Easter party, when she was finally having problems with her mom at the end, she was acting the way she is now with her mom, where she stayed calm and just gave her mom that look and let her mom kind of dig her grave. But and the mom was doing her whole act thing. But before, when Monica was talking to Angie, and Angie was staying very calm with Monica, and Monica was kind of pulling those tricks with Angie. She was moving from the emotion to the anger. Yeah. To the, I mean, it's really
this
interesting.
This is trauma. I can get behind. Like her, this is
trauma. You know, like
this
you can
trauma.
See her cycles working out. She doesn't really see that she's being her mom in that situation. Yeah. But then when it comes to her mom being that way with her, she can be out of that situation and play a different role in it. I mean, it's really...
It was compelling.
It's a...
it was compelling. It really is. It was compelling. I was losing my mind. I was like, I cannot believe what I'm watching right now. So,
That's some of the best casting. Also, somebody sent us a message, and we love recapping these shows, obviously, and take notes on everything we can, every little bit that we can. We don't follow as closely the news about everything, yeah. You know, like the social media and stuff like that. And so I love when people send us what's going on and screenshots and stuff. And someone sent us, did you know that the dress that Monica's wearing in her confessional was designed by the same designer that Jen Shaw abused? Remember when Jen Shaw abused that designer, Koa? I think
I forgot his name. Koa. Yeah. He was on the special, right? He was on the ABC expose.
Yes, Koa Johnson, designer Kojo on Instagram. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah,
Monica's like, hell yes, I'm using that designer. Great casting there.
Monica is so good. And honestly, Monica's mother, like Linda, is fascinating to me. Like the tales of Linda's life, like the abuse and the heartache that she went through, and the whole story with Monica's dad. Like, there's so much there. And also, it makes you think, like, this is not a unique story in America. Like, there are tons of these families that have gone through these horrific traumas. And so it was really great to actually be able to sort of see it in front of our eyes rather than just sort of like the typical, like, oh, like my kids, everything's great with my family. It was just, I thought it was riveting.
Well, here's another thing, speaking of Linda. So after the episode aired, after the Greek Easter episode aired, of course, it sent people into a tizzy online, right? Because a lot of people do have these kind of relationships with their moms. And so it triggered a lot of people, basically. And so a lot of people were coming after the mom. And on, and I think this is Instagram, her name is LD Millionaire, which I think is, I don't know why I think that's funny. LD Millionaire. So this is the... this is what she said. Monica begged me to do this reality show with her. Begged. I have some aspirin here somewhere. I didn't want to do it. She told me all I had to do was cook and speak Portuguese. How did she return the favor? She did me dirty. And meanwhile, I would never compete with my own child unless it's sports. I'm too smart to try and go up against Monica. She'd chew me up and spit me out. And lastly, I never abandoned her. I always put her needs above my own, even in her adulthood. I'm not perfect, but I am a devoted mother and a vovo. God bless us, everyone. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Now, does anyone want some guacamole for dessert?
So, okay. If you didn't abandon her, then what did you do? What is the dropping her off in Pennsylvania and you going to New York? What happened? I need to know.
Also, don't talk shit about your daughter on social media. Don't say, my daughter would chew me up and spit me out. Like, I know if you want to defend yourself, but what you say is, this is a snapshot. I love my daughter dearly. She is the light of my life. Like any parent-child relationship, there are fights, but it's a testament to da da da. Like, I don't know. Like, you don't say, well, yeah, look what she did to me, and she chewed me up and spat me out, and this is typical of that bitch. It's like,
she tricked me. She tricked me into coming to this show so she could just ruin me. You know, it's like, well, lady, even if she said that, even these fights, this whole dinner, all you really had to say was, Monica, I'm so sorry. I love you. Obviously, I hurt you. What can I do?
That's,
you know,
all
what I
she
mean?
Had
if
to
you
do.
Want to make yourself look good, you know,
but her,
if you feel like you're so tricked, you're certainly not feeling like that for the first time. I mean, you repossessed her car, for fuck's sake. So obviously you knew there was some kind of a problem, but you just can't help yourself, Linda. You can't help yourself.
Her just sniffling at that table when Monica walked in. I mean, it was chef's kiss.
The grabbing of the eye. The aspirin.
The chef.
And the trying to get things off of her clothes.
I didn't call you fucker. I called you motherfucker.
Motherfucker.
I mean, it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here. We've also got so many other things coming up this week. We've got Real Housewives of Miami coming up. We've got Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We've still got Southern Charm coming up.
Big week.
Thanks to everyone for being there with us for Crappy Hour. Go check that audio out. It's pretty good. It's a good discussion of the Vanity Fair Reckoning article.
Yep.
And what else? We'll be back.
We'll be around.
Tomorrow, the day after.
Subscribe. Leave a review. Okay, everyone. Talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Stroll in the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie,
my favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tam LaPlaine.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Catchit.
She ain't no shrinkin' Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.